For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is Wednesday, May 22nd, and we are here to chat AEW Dynamite, the go-home show. Now, of course, it's your girl, Denise Salcedo. Righteous Reg is not here with us today because he's clearly on that Roman Reigns schedule. Just kidding. He was at the show here tonight in Bakersfield, so we let him go have a good time tonight. Enjoy himself at the show, and he went to a pretty fun one, that's for sure. But of course, I am joined by none other. Today, we got Phil Lindsay. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm sure some people that confuse me and Reg will be confused again. I am not Reg. I am Phil.
Are people still confusing the both of you?
Every now and then, this still happens. I'm just like, Reg wears glasses. I don't wear glasses.
You're like, come on, how much more obvious can it possibly get?
Yeah, just write it on your hand. Reg equals glasses, Phil not glasses.
There you go. We got the easy cheat sheet for that here today. But all right, Phil, I don't even know where to start. So I want to get into the ending of the show because overall, I kind of felt like the first hour of Dynamite was like pretty okay, was fine. Like the first hour and a half, I was like, okay, whatever. I really didn't feel like there was much to really talk about. But then things really started to shift once we had that whole segment with Adam Copeland and Malakai Black, the stuff with Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage, and then the ending of the show. I thought those three things were really the best part of the show. How did you feel about Dynamite overall as a go-home show here tonight?
Very WCW-esque episode of Dynamite, with even the way that they were teasing up Darby's coming back to the show and saying that he was banned. It felt very much like something they would do with Sting. I expected him to have like some kind of big entrance. I did not expect him to hop out of a car and fist bump Tony Khan. No. I laughed very hard at that.
I was gonna say, like, I can't even imagine. Like, it was funny too because like nobody was expecting Tony Khan. I don't think I've ever seen or imagined Tony Khan being the one to drive the vehicle, because obviously we know he's rich, he's a billionaire. I always imagine him in the back seat, you know, being driven around by everybody. So having him in the front seat driving and fist bumping Darby, it freaking threw me for a loop, man.
Yeah, just the idea of him almost a year ago being on TV like, nope, gotta do what is best for my company because somebody's safety was at risk, and then driving someone to your show with a flamethrower.
At first I didn't even know what it was when he came out. I'm like, does he have a BB gun? Is that a paintball gun? And so I'm thinking, like, what kind of a gun is this, right? Then he comes out with a freaking flamethrower, and I'm like, dude, that shit was huge. And I'm like, who's trusting Darby Allin with a flamethrower? Honestly,
I don't know, but it did look like he knew how to turn it off because he kept like trying to blow the fire out and it kept going.
I was like, I saw that too. He looked like he was trying to do something like really cool, like a cool effect, but it kept going. I don't know how a flamethrower works. I've never worked a flamethrower in my life. I can't even freaking turn on a match. So I mean, like, this was very, very fun. So we're gonna go ahead and dive right into all of that. So let's get to it. I want to start things off with the main event. Bryan Danielson versus Satnam Singh. And this basically all led to the shenanigans in which we're talking about right now, which we had Bryan Danielson unfortunately get jumped by Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett. And so because of that, the match ends in a DQ. And then all hell breaks loose. We see the Elite come out, the Young Bucks. We see Kazuchika Okada. He takes out Bryan Danielson with the Rainmaker. And just when you think Bryan has got nobody, all of a sudden, and we were pretty much expecting it, Darby Allin rolls in, being driven by Tony Khan, comes out with the flamethrower. And in the middle of all of this, Nick Jackson gets thrown into a table off of the stage. Just madness. What did you think of the whole entire thing from the match to the fallout of the show?
I was very surprised that this was the main event at first, because I was like, wait, Bryan versus Satnam is the main event? I don't have high hopes for this match, and it wasn't really a match. It was really just a vehicle to do the aftermatch stuff. And I mean, as that, it was fine. It was just basically, you know, Satnam throwing him around and then Bryan doing his trademark moves. Then we got to the aftermatch stuff, and even then I was still looking around like, this is how we're ending the show, with Jeff Jarrett and the gang beating down Bryan. And then the Elite came out, I was like, okay. And then like it picked up once the car pulled up and Darby pulled up. But for a minute I was a little bit worried. I was like, this is how we're ending the go home show.
Dude, I get you, because when I was looking at the card for the show when I was preparing this live stream and I saw that the match was between Bryan Danielson and Satnam Singh, I'm thinking, okay, this is either going to be a total shit show or it's going to be like one of the best things that we've ever seen. Because like, think about it, like Bryan Danielson is not going to be in a match with Satnam Singh on his birthday if that's not something that he wanted to do. So the fact that Bryan was like, whether he chose or didn't choose to face Satnam Singh in this matchup, I don't know the details behind that. The point is, if he didn't want to face Satnam Singh, he wouldn't have faced Satnam Singh, but he did. And the match actually turned out kind of fun. It was like watching Bryan Danielson wrestle with a tree that hits back. Like at one point, Satnam Singh got on his knees, Phil. Oh, he was on one knee, and the dude was still taller than Bryan Danielson. It was kind of nuts, actually.
Yeah, no, I think Satnam looked good for what he needed to do here. Again, it wasn't like this like balls to the wall match, but it worked as a vehicle to get to the closing segment.
Yeah, and I think the crowd was really into it. And again, the way that they closed out the show was definitely the best way to close out a show heading into a big pay-per-view, Double or Nothing. Again, celebrating now 5 years of AEW. So I love the ending, man. Let's get some thoughts here. Let's see what the people are saying. First and foremost, we got Shelton Jackson here, who gifted 5 DWO memberships. We also have Roberto Arsenal, who says, when she became Timeless Tony, I began to watch her stardom days, which in turn got me into Joshi Wrestling, which is now my favorite. I love that, man. Whenever somebody brings you into a promotion to start watching them, like for me, it was AJ Styles for TNA. It was Hiroshi Tanahashi for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like it's always a specific person that depending on when you're watching, gets you into a promotion.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time someone asks me how to get into like Joshi wrestling or some wrestling that they don't watch, I always say just find a wrestler that you like and follow that wrestler. That's the easiest way to do it.
That's how I discovered CM Punk. When I started watching CM Punk, I remember this was several moons ago, and everybody would be talking about him on like chat rooms and stuff, right? And they'd be calling him during this time like the wrestling god of wrestling. Like everybody would refer to him as that. And I'm like, who is this god of wrestling? So I found out, okay, got the name, sounds interesting, CM Punk. And literally all I did was just go down a rabbit hole, and all of a sudden I'm watching him in Ring of Honor. I'm watching him in some other places. And that's literally how you do it. You just go around and you find someone you like and you just stick to it. We got Sheldon Jackson here, who says Mox versus Takeshita could have been a dynamite match, because I think Mox is winning due to wrestling politics between DDT and New Japan Pro Wrestling. Also, making an IWGP title eliminator kind of confirms Mox win for me. So let's talk about this now that we're on the topic here. So Kinosuke Takeshita today has a really quick match against Matt Sydal, and there really wasn't anything. This was really just to give Takeshita a win. He's now 11-0, Phil, so yay, good for that. I'm gonna be real with you, I kind of forgot this match was even happening at Double or Nothing, because it was kind of like the match was made and then all of a sudden there really wasn't too much going on between them. But then today after the match, Moxley comes out, hits Takeshita with a microphone, and I'm like, oh yeah, that match is happening. I'm not crazy about world title eliminator matches at times if the story isn't right. I'm looking forward to the match, but I know that I know it's a dead giveaway that Jon Moxley is winning. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. Basically what Sheldon describes here, I don't see a world where with the politics of Japanese wrestling, Takeshita is going to challenge for that title or win it. So I think this is their way of trying to get it in between here and trying to make it seem unpredictable. Hey, maybe he can win and earn a title match. I don't think he's winning, guys. I think he's very clearly losing.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like Kinosuke Takeshita, man, he's one of the people that I really hope AEW doesn't fumble because he's so freaking good. And he's a very charming guy. Like, I look at him and I'm like, I can see a bunch of girls falling in love with him. He's a very good looking guy. I feel like there's so much there with Takeshita that has not even been like, it hasn't been touched at all. And I feel like he keeps getting forgotten about, but yet he keeps giving everybody brilliant matches.
Yeah, I was here for the heel turn originally, but I kind of feel like he should just stay the face. He was so much more likable as a face. He was over. I don't think in the long run, turning him heel has worked.
See, I feel like it's not that he's a heel, because I like him as a heel. I actually kind of prefer him as a heel. It's just been more so that, you know, he's sort of always, how do I say, I don't want to say forgotten about, because I don't think the fans forget, but it's just that we know he's not the person that, like, the storylines are not centered around him. Like, yeah. He's not the sun in the storylines. He's usually the one traveling around. He's the planet orbiting around the sun. And so it's like, come on, like, we want to see at some point Kinosuke Takeshita be that sun in the storylines.
I was confused at first where you were going with this analogy, because I was like, he is the son. He's Don's son. That's the whole storyline.
You know what I'm saying? He's just not the focal point, man. And I want Kinosuke Takeshita to be the focal point.
And the sun doesn't go around. Everything goes around the sun.
No, that's what I said. I want Kinosuke Takeshita to be the sun. He's been the planet. He's been going.
Okay.
That's what I was saying.
I did not understand this analogy at all.
Hey, I just came up with it on the fly, okay? All right. We got Alexander Fitzgerald who says that Jay White promo had me in tears when he was trying to pronounce Pac's name. A fan yelled out, it's Pac, like Tupac. We need to talk about this promo. Oh my God. I felt horrible. This was the point of the show, Phil, where I texted Reg and I said, start a chant. Do something. This crowd is dead. The crowd was so dead during lots of parts of the show. I'm just going to say it. This was not a good crowd. They got some really good stuff and they did react to it towards the end. But throughout like the first half of the show, I could hear people having conversations. When you can hear one single person's chant, there was one guy who yelled out, who booked this shit? That's horrible. No. Like, why are we hearing this? Like, I shouldn't be able to hear that. And so that basically went down when we had the whole thing with the Bang Bang Gang and Jay White comes out. Let's talk about the promo portion of it. This is basically him shit-talking Pac, and they have a little bit where they're making fun of how to pronounce his name. What did you think of this particular part?
I thought bits of it were funny. I thought them coming down with the wagons to carry all of their belts was really funny. I thought Jay White trying to figure out, is it Pac? Is it Puck? How do you pronounce this guy's name? And of course he knows his name. I thought all of that of him being passive aggressive was funny. But I don't think it hit with the rest of the show because there were other things in the show that kind of dragged. And so when it got to this, it was like, all right, what are we doing here? Now, the stuff afterwards, when we did get the Death Triangle entrance and we got like their reunion, all of that stuff hit. But this promo at first, it was like, all right. And I didn't mind it. It's just like in front of that crowd, they just did not care.
They didn't. And that's the thing. Like, I also thought it was kind of funny that he did the Pac-Pac thing, because how many times don't you do that? Like, sometimes even I forget. I'm like, wait, is it Pac? Is it Pac? You know, sometimes you have this like glitch where you're like, what is it again? And so I kind of thought that it was funny, but it's weird. It just was not connecting at all with the crowd. But like you said, when the Death Triangle came back together, oh, dude, I was here for this. I was so happy that they made this match. For Double or Nothing, that's a match that I'm really looking forward to because the Death Triangle was my favorite. And of course, you know, Rey Fénix was gone due to injury for such a long time. But let's not forget that the Lucha Brothers, as a unit have been such a big part of AEW. And then as the Death Triangle, they've been pretty sick as well.
Yeah, I was really happy to see them. I was really happy to see them doing the same entrance they do where they zoom around and show each guy at each different entrance. I thought all that stuff was hot, but yeah, just took a minute to get there.
It did. It really did, unfortunately. We got Travis Lindsay with a very generous super chat who says, "Happy belated birthday, Denise. All Out Moving is probably good. 9 pay-per-views are a lot. I have to decide between Double or Nothing, Forbidden Door, or All In after Revolution and Dynasty. Obviously, cards matter, but which AEW pay-per-view is your can't miss?" So I make sure to watch all of the pay-per-views, right? I go to the shows, I cover them, so it's a little bit different. But for me, if I wasn't doing any of that, it would of course be Double or Nothing, All Out, and All In for the sake that it's at Wembley. I would say those shows would probably be at the top of my priority list. How about you, Phil?
I feel like Revolution is usually the best, one of their best shows every year. So at this point, Revolution is a can't miss show. Double or Nothing is usually a staple. It's usually like their, I don't want to say their big, kind of like as close as we're going to get to their WrestleMania. Although All In now exists now for crowd reasons, that's their WrestleMania. But I mean, in terms of tradition, Double or Nothing is really like their WrestleMania. And All Out is here, so I usually go to All Out. The other ones, because they're still newer, I don't have as much affinity to like World's End or like Fool's Gear. I don't have.
Well, we only had one World's End, and it wasn't good. Yeah. It was actually AEW's worst pay-per-view. But the one that, you know what? Wrestle Dream was great.
Wrestle Dream was really great.
And then I'm trying to think, how do I normally feel about Full Gear? Full Gear is usually fine. It's usually fine. It's not bad. Yeah. So, I mean, like, for the most part, like, that's the thing. All AEW pay-per-views, personally, for me, they usually hit. Again, that World's End pay-per-view was like that rare one that didn't actually hit, but I feel like all of them mostly do. So then again, it's kind of hard, especially if you're tuning in to watch all of the pay-per-views. It's hard to try to decide which one you're going to spend your money on, right? And so, I guess it just depends on everybody's interests and what people like. So thank you so much to Travis for this generous super chat, and I hope you figure out which pay-per-views you want to invest in. Thank you so much for the love. We got Infamous Raider Loco here who says, "The table crumbling should have been the headline." That's good. I like that. We got Simon Renshaw here says, "So we're getting Brood Cope at Double or Nothing." Well, my friend, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Let's talk about this whole situation here that we had with Malakai Black and Adam Copeland. But this all started with a pretty damn good match. It was Kyle O'Reilly versus Malakai Black. Now, I gotta say, the match was good. The strikes, everything between them, phenomenal. I thought that the crowd did not react the way that they should have to this match, and that's very unfortunate. I thought this match came across a lot better than how the fans were reacting to it. But let's talk about the match portion, and then we'll get into the aftermath of that. How'd you feel about Kyle O'Reilly and Malakai?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was a really good match, but it didn't hit as hard as it could have because the crowd wasn't reacting to certain spots in it. And I think that really stopped it from being as good as it could have been. But just on its own, I thought it was a really good match. I thought the strike exchanges, like you said, were good. At one point, Malakai pulled out this back elbow out of nowhere that looked really clean. The fake that he did towards the end of it to get into Black Mass also looked clean. Really strong match.
It definitely was. So, like, then the ending, I think we kind of all saw it coming the second that the lights went down and it kind of turned a little red and he's standing in there perfectly. You see his, like, stance. It's all, like, perfectly positioned. And I'm going, oh, we're getting it right now. We're going to get the blood spot. It's going to happen. He's going to get a bloodbath. And he did. And, dude, they did not, they weren't on a budget with this blood that they did. They freaking did like they went to freaking Costco, Sam's Club. They bought the full-on version and they freaking pour it up in there. Dude was swimming in a pool of whatever it is that they had for the blood. But that was freaking sick, man. And I love just how much actually came out and dude was covered in it. I marked for this so much.
Yeah, again, very WCW-esque episode of Dynamite. At first, when the first stream started coming down behind him, I was like, oh, did they miss him? Are we getting a Kevin Nash moment? And then when the second stream, like, it, like, clobbered him. Like, the way it hit him so hard, he started, like, flopping around. I was like, oh, turn the stream down a little bit.
Oh, you know what it reminded me of? And someone shared the tweet. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen Katy Perry get slimed at the Nickelodeon Awards?
Yes. Yes,
oh my God. Well, if it was coming, like, obviously for her, it was coming in this direction. So it was very brutal. But that was the amount that we got for Malakai Black. But I love this. I thought this definitely spiced up the story so much more, especially considering that the stipulation is pretty cool for the Double or Nothing match. The barbed wire steel cage match. So I feel like this, like, here's the thing that I really liked about Dynamite today, that they thought outside the box for a lot of these stuff. Like, so we're talking earlier, we get a flamethrower. That's pretty cool. Then in this situation, we get the bloodbath. That's pretty cool. We're going to talk later on about Swerve and the car and what they did there. So I like that almost a lot of these matches had these outside the box moments that you don't really see on a weekly basis on the show.
Yeah, I agree. I really like what they've been doing with Malakai and Cope. I think the story of Malakai going, like, what happened to you? What you've changed. Like, you got married and now you're like a parent and you're soft. Like, you used to be the guy that came out in the puffy shirts drinking blood and you know, having like wild sex shows on TV. Like, what happened to you? So I like that aspect of it. And I like him taking his ring and everything last week was the thing that pushed him over the edge. Like, okay, this is what you want. This is what you're going to get. And I like all of the ties that they're doing with it. I like that it seems like we're getting closer and closer to something with Christian, because that's got to be why they're doing the Brood thing, right? Because they're both in the same place. Like, that's why he came there.
I think that because, okay, we already got all that we could get with Edge versus Christian, right? Like, we're not exactly clamoring to see that again. We got that several times. But I think seeing them reunite together, it's the nostalgia. It's the, well, what is this version? We've seen Adam Copeland go and do so many things. Christian Cage go and do so many things. And to see them come back together here in AEW, I feel like that's the next thing that Tony needs to check off in terms of having Adam Copeland here, because he came in, he feuded with Christian. He's been working with a bunch of different guys. We're seeing, like you said, a little bit more of this edgier Adam Copeland on the show, which we know he's had lots of edgy moments throughout his career. So freaking many. I mean, jumping off of a ladder to spear Jeff Hardy, the flaming table spot with Mick Foley. That's just to name a few. You mentioned the live sex celebration. I don't know how much edgier it gets than that. So now we're starting to see a lot more of that implemented into the AEW version of Adam Copeland. And so, I mean, that's the next thing that's next, right? Him teaming up with Christian.
Yeah, I have to assume that there's a story that they're telling here. I have to assume that Christian is going to play into this in some way.
But I'm also glad that you mentioned the ring, because I had forgotten about that last week. And you take a man's wedding ring, he's got to be punished for that. I think he did just that. He got his revenge here tonight. He definitely did. All right, let's go ahead and get into some other of these super chats that we got here. This one's from Delayed Grats. It says, who is this great value Reg? JK, Phil is the man. We got Matt Logan here who says Phil is better looking than Reg. Dang, we got wow. A lot of competition happening here today. We'll let Mama Wayne decide. Are you also in love with Mother Wayne, Shayna Wayne? Because that's Reg's woman.
I'm not fighting him for his affections with Mama Wayne, man.
All right. See, Phil knows the bro code. You know the bro code. We got Roberto Arsenal who says, yo, Phil, are you ready for a Lupe Samurai album?
Yeah, I like the first record a lot. Definitely looking forward to Lupe album 2 days before my birthday. Sounds dope.
All right. Infamous Raider Loco says the Dynamite parking lot was wild. Should have been our boy Will driving Darby. Following up on his debut, Reg definitely had a blast. Can you imagine Will being the one driving Darby?
Yeah, I don't think it hits this quite the same as Tony Khan giving him the fist bump, because everything about it is so ridiculous that it makes it even better. Maybe Will driving would have been funny, but nah, just Tony's triumphant return to Dynamite that way is really funny.
You know what would have been great? Will a shotgun for Tony Khan, giving them the directions.
Holding the phone, like.
Yes, yes. That would have been so funny. But no, this was a great moment, obviously, having Tony Khan just pop in there and fist bump him. Great stuff there. Thank you so much to Infamous Raider Loco. We got Grapple Geekery here who says, Brood Edge is all elite. Women of the British Empire are all elite. Setting opponents on fire is all elite. The learning tree is garbage, though. The learning tree still really isn't hitting. We might as well get into that right now. So we had Hook versus Shibata versus Keith the Bounty Hunter, with the winner going on to face Chris Jericho at an AEW Double or Nothing. And the way they ended up doing this is where both Hook and Shibata had Keith with a submission. He taps, and because they can't decide who it is, both of them end up winning. And so now this is a triple threat match at Double or Nothing. How did you feel about this?
I just don't know why Hook is still doing this storyline with Chris Jericho at this point. I suppose the Double or Nothing match is probably just the way to wrap this up, hopefully, and move on. But yeah, this learning tree stuff is not really hitting for me. He comes out and he does like the "I'm very happy to be here" voice. Look, I'm very happy to be on camera. And then you've got Big Will back behind him, like doing a thumbs up and. Big Bill, sorry, not Big Will, but big thumbs up, and he's doing the goofy facial expressions. I'm like, this is just not for me, man.
I don't know if it's for anybody. Like, I haven't heard one person. Like, Reg and I have been talking about this every week, Phil, and not once have we had anybody in the Super Chats come in and say, hey, guys, I actually liked this. Like, nobody is defending this at all. Who is this for? I don't even know anymore. Yeah, you're right. It is for Chris Jericho. It bums me out, man. And so, like, for me, I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I really kind of – I don't even know what I wanted out of this. I guess I didn't even really want anything out of this because I'm like, it should still be Hook versus Jericho. But it's like, we just did that at the last pay-per-view. And now them adding Shibata, you know, Shibata's great. Everybody loves Shibata. But it's still not enough. It's not enough to say, oh, I'm now interested in this match because Shibata is in it. You're just basically saying, okay, well, we're going to add this ingredient and try to make this different than what you got originally. And I'm sitting here going, I don't think we should have had back-to-back pay-per-view matches with Jericho and Hook. It just kind of feels like, I don't know, it just feels weird. It feels weird.
Yeah, this is how I felt when someone earlier was saying that the Mox match didn't need to be on the pay-per-view. I don't think this match needed to be on the pay-per-view. I understand putting Mox on this pay-per-view, fifth anniversary of Double or Nothing. That's where he debuted. So I get it. I get having like him debuting there 5 years ago and coming back as IWGP World Champion. I understand that. I don't understand the reason why this match needs to be on the card.
No, this could have been on Dynamite. This could have been today. Hell, I would have taken it today. Perfectly okay. I haven't counted how many matches are taking place at Double or Nothing. I'll do that later on. But it feels like this is definitely the one that you're just like, eh. I'm going to go grab a soda. So we all need those matches, to be honest. We really do. Okay, so the other thing that I was going to bring up, and I hate to be this person, so I'm sorry, but last night I was just covering NXT, and they had a finish. I don't know if you caught the show, Phil, where they basically had a triple threat to determine the number one contender for the NXT North American champion, Oba Femi. And it was Joe Coffey, Wesley, and Josh Briggs. And they basically almost did the exact same finish. The only difference in this one was that it was submission. And the difference with the NXT one was that they ended up just accidentally both falling on the guy and ended up pinning Josh Briggs. And so both guys are being put into the match, becoming a triple threat. And I'm just thinking like, oh man, like seeing that back to back, it's one of those things where it's like you just have to be aware and seeing what other people are doing so that you don't do the exact same thing. Again, it was a little bit different, a little tweaked differently, but it was just too close back to back for me not to point out those similarities in terms of how we got this triple threat match. So that's kind of something that I thought about while I was watching this. So that kind of took me out of it a little bit. But to be honest, I really wasn't all that in. So there you go.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think you were in the first place.
I wasn't in.
Like, because how many people do you think watch both shows and are like, oh, they just did that yesterday?
There's a few. Yes, there's a few, definitely. I know a lot of people here that are on the chat that are on the Tuesday chat as well, watching NXT, and are here watching Dynamite as well.
Yeah, maybe it's just me. I don't watch NXT.
So you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. All right, let's see what else we got here. We got Tall Can Shy Take Mushroom, who says that flamethrower spot reminded me of X-Pac and Kane. Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, man. Thank you so much for bringing that up. We got Alexander Fitzgerald, who says AEW just kept the strawberry jam industry in business tonight. Malachi Black was drenched in it. Was that strawberry jam? I couldn't tell.
I don't know. It looked very preserve-like.
It was maybe like the texture.
Yeah, it had the same texture of like strawberry preserve.
Oh, damn. I love strawberry jam. I would have been all up on that. Like, get me a piece of toast and I would have been all up on that. Oh, man. I'd volunteer for that. Get me in some strawberry jam. All right. We got BJF.
Somebody's definitely going to clip this now. Like, get you slathered in some strawberry jam.
Hey, I would love that. Oh, but here's the problem. Malachi Black is probably incredibly sticky right now if it's jam. Have you ever gotten jam on your hands by accident?
Yeah.
Okay, it's like the worst because you get sticky. So it's going to be on his hair, all sticky, on his arms. Oh, that I feel bad for him now.
Come on, man. You know how sticky it gets.
BJF says, am I wrong to want to see Satnam Singh versus Omos? No, my friend. I think I'm on board with that one, too. I want to see the freaky stuff. I'm here for it.
You're here for all right. Freaky stuff?
I'm here for the freaky stuff. Add some strawberry jam into it. We got Raw Rounded Leo who says, don't understand. Say the crowd did not good. Could it be the show is not good or boring? Here's the thing. There's been times where there have been some matches that I wasn't really a big fan of, but the crowds always go above and beyond and make you think like, damn, I'm in the minority because the crowd is reacting great to this. And I kind of like that. I prefer for me not to be interested in a match, but the crowd to be like really invested in it than for them to be not invested in a really good match. So yeah. I think it was the crowd in this one for certain parts because it's hard to argue, right? I don't know. Because of course they did react to the big moments. They reacted to the blood spot. They reacted to the Darby Allin flamethrower thing and all of the shenanigans that unfolded at the closing of the show. But yeah, maybe you're right. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's a mix of both. I think sometimes the pacing of the show didn't help. And I think at some points the crowd was just kind of looking around like, what is this? This is a go-home show? Like, where are we going with this? And I definitely felt that way sometimes watching it. Like, hey, this is cool. But, you know, I also have the basketball game on another screen. So if I'm not feeling what's going on, I'm like kind of looking over here. So I don't know. I think it was a good show, but I think sometimes the pacing didn't really lend to the live experience.
Right. I feel you because even when, like, again, the first hour and a half of the show, I was sitting here going, okay, we had some good matches, but how much can I possibly say about that? It's like, oh, yay, good match. Cool. What else? Nothing else. It was good. Moving on. So I get what you're saying by that. We got Tony Campbell here who says, AEW Double or Nothing, sign me up. WWF Saudi Arabia, what a joke. Let's go, Tony Khan. Mercedes wins with help with Kamal. Am I saying that? Oh, Camille. He meant Camille, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he just spelled it weird.
Do you think we'll see Camille at Double or Nothing?
I don't. I don't think that, like, for you to do her first debut match, I don't think she's going to win with a heater like that. I think because this is her first match with the company, I just don't see that happening.
Right. I feel you on that one. We got Toby Schwashbauer who says, am I the only one tired of them saying Tony Khan just texted me on commentary? I think it's so stupid. Well, I mean, if he was going to in storyline, he is supposed to be in Jacksonville running the show remotely, right? So in storyline, you can argue that he can just text commentary. But if he's running the show remotely, he would still be able to talk to them on commentary.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what he means. It's at this point we know that Tony's the matchmaker. It sometimes feels very much like a mystery booker guy behind the curtain, like, hey, this is the match for the next show. And it's like, we don't always need the reminder. It doesn't bother me, but we don't really need it.
I feel ya. All right, we got Alexander Fitzgerald, who says, is it time to put some respect on Harley? She's been solid in the ring so far, and that tag match was a fun match. So we got the tag team match tonight with Toni Storm, Mariah May versus Harley and Saraya. Now, we've been talking a whole lot about Harley lately because she's been appearing on more AEW Dynamite matches. I think she's had two. This might have been her third one now in like the last month. And she has not been bad. And I think we all, for whatever reason, we're assuming that she was not going to be good, and she hella surprised everybody. What have you been thinking about Harley's performances?
I think she's been good. I think it helps that she's been in there with two wrestlers that are also very good, and Tony and Mariah. And I think Mariah has shined in all the matches that they've had so far. And so I think it's just a matter of her being in there with the right opponents. It looks like she works very hard. Shout out to her. I think she looks great.
Hell yeah, man. We got Tall Can Shy Take Mushroom, who says, Prince Nana is the best, Nana number one, in my Rusev Mira voice. I wouldn't do that voice right now, but I can't because my throat's all messed up right now. But let's get into this because this is another part of the show that I really, really enjoyed. So we had Nick Wayne versus Swerve Strickland. And now we all know their history together. They've always worked very well together. Cool. Swerve gets his victory, but it was the stuff afterwards that was pretty damn fun, because after the match, we see Luchasaurus attack Swerve, and then afterwards, we see Swerve go off and chase Christian. Christian's running. He's trying to leave. He's trying to get into the getaway car, and just when you think he's gonna leave, Prince Nana pops up out of nowhere in the car as well, and he's got his Starbucks in hand, and I thought that was hilarious, and he stops him from leaving, and we end up seeing Swerve take him out of his car, throw him around, tries to concerto him, and eventually Christian Cage runs off again. What did you think of all this?
I thought the match was good. I don't think it's as strong as like some of the other Nick Wayne Swerve matches from like Defy or anything. But I thought they did a lot of good character stuff. I thought Swerve taking his belt off at one point, saying, "You want a dad? I'll be your dad." And he's like beating him with the belt. The catch spot at the outside where he tried to jump out and he catches him, and then Nick counters into another move. I thought that was great. I thought the finish was also really good. Swerve telling him, "I am sorry," and then hits him with the house call, pins him 1-2-3. All of that was good. The stuff at the end, for whatever reason, continues to remind me of Fast and the Furious, because Christian had the turtleneck and he's doing the Dom Toretto thing, and he gets in the car, yank somebody out of their car, first of all, and tries to drive off. And out of nowhere, Nana pulls up, and he, like you said, he's drinking the coffee with the big smirk on his face. Like, where are you going?
I was waiting for him to do the Swerve when I drive situation. That was really funny. This was cool. Again, this added to the... all of these things just add to it, you know? They add to the big feel of, hey, we're heading into this...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Big pay-per-view. You should buy it because big shit can actually happen on the show. And so this was good stuff all around as well. I was a fan of this. I was almost hoping that Swerve continued to chase Christian Cage. When Christian Cage ran off and avoided the concerto, I was like, no, go after him. Go after him. I want to see more. Keep going. Because I love this shit, you know? I love the behind-the-scenes stuff because, you know, like, those are the things that you're going to remember. When you think back to, oh, Swerve and Christian Cage, and 5 years from now, I'm going to, well, what do you remember from that? You're going to point out certain things, right? And so it's things like that when you go in other places and you do other things that just really stick with you in your head and your memory and use something that you don't forget. So like, it's always the skits and stuff that they do behind, like backstage or whatever, that you tend to remember a whole lot.
Yeah.
We got Brandon Rosen here who says, a Double or Nothing, which match do you predict will be the show stealer? And which one will be your bathroom break? Hook Jericho Shibata will probably be my bathroom break. Show stealer, of course, Anarchy in the Arena, man.
I think the women's match is going to be a lot better than people think. I think people have been waiting for Mercedes to have the match. Willow's been killing it. I think that's going to be the show stealer.
Hell yeah. I'm looking forward to that one. That one's going to be good. And a lot of people are really getting behind Willow. So that's been exciting to see. And I'm curious to see how the crowd is going to react to Willow and how the crowd is going to react to Mercedes. All right, we got Grapple Geekery here who says, Jericho flubbing his delivery was dire. If Shibata and Hook cost each other the match, I'll riot. It's been booked for an audience of one. Vincent Kennedy McMahon style for an audience of one. Dang. Okay, if Jericho retains and keeps his FTW championship, then this just is going to keep going.
Guys, I hate to break it to you, but Jericho is going to win this match. I don't see a world where Shibata wins the match. Shibata don't need that belt. Like, what are you going to do with Shibata's FTW title? And honestly, Hook has moved on. He doesn't need that belt anymore. Like, I feel like that belt has kind of become an albatross for him. Move him on to different things. If that's the point of this feud, to get that belt off of him and move him on to different feuds, then do that. But I don't think we need a pay-per-view match to do that, but I do believe Jericho's going to win here.
Yeah, man. I don't think that the FTW belt is serving anybody at this point. But, I mean, I don't know what else to say other than we know we're not really too interested in this. And it just is what it is. And, man, hopefully we'll get something good out of it. We'll see. We got Tony Campbell who says WWF is being sued. A guy who lost his hearing at show. I have not seen this. Have you seen this?
No.
No. I'm sorry, Tony. I actually have not seen this, but I will look afterwards. We have Rafael Garcia who says, so Tony Khan has a driver's license. Serena Deeb is a heel. We might get Gangrel, and someone let Darby have a flamethrower. Happy birthday, Brian. Okay. So, I like how we're all amazed that Tony Khan has a driver's license. Why are we so amazed by that? What's wrong with us?
Yeah, I don't know. I assumed that he could drive. I don't know why this is like this big revelation.
Again, I think it's because, again, if I was a billionaire, I wouldn't drive anywhere. I would have everybody drive me around. I would never drive.
Yeah, makes
but
sense.
Then again, I do like to drive, though. I'm acting like I don't like to drive. I actually do like to drive. Sometimes sitting in the back seat actually makes me car sick. So technically, I do prefer to be either in the front or be the one driving. So we'll see. All right. The other thing that we need to talk about, Serena Deeb. We didn't mention this in the match with that they did, but Serena Deeb did attack Toni Storm afterwards, hit her with the shoe. And that was good stuff. She's doing pretty, like, today was all right. I mean, she's bouncing back of that promo that didn't really go the direction that they wanted it to. I don't know that there's very much interest for this match, but at least Serena Deeb is bringing it as much as she can.
I think the match itself is going to be good because I like the idea of every wrestler that's worked Tony for the last few matches has been like trying to force her to actually wrestle, and they've all been like technical wrestlers. So I like that. And I do think that she's going to get a good match here, but it's very clear how over Tony is because Deeb is supposed to be the good guy here, and they were like clearly booing her the entire time. And I feel like that's been kind of an issue with Tony for a minute of she just doesn't feel like a heel because the crowd likes her.
I agree. I think that Serena Deeb to me is the heel. She felt like the heel last week. The crowd reacted to her like she was a heel last week. And Toni Storm does feel like the babyface, but again, she's supposed to be the evil one or whatever. But no, I think Serena Deeb is definitely the heel in this, whether they like it or not. We got D here who says, Denise pie eating contest and then a strawberry jam shower. Oh, you know that. Phil, just to fill you in on this, I've always wanted to be in a pie eating contest. It's a whole thing. It's like one of those cool things I've always wanted to do, you know? I know. Everybody makes that face.
I was very confused as to what this chat meant. I was like, what?
You were like, what pie eating contest is she going to do? It'll happen one day. You know, my dream and the perfect pie for me. I already know which one it is. It's cream cheese Kahlua pie. Have you had that?
No.
Okay. So the crust is Kahlua. Uh-huh. It's like a dark Kahlua crust. So you know how normally it's like a golden brown, like regular graham crust for cream cheese pie or yeah. like cheesecake. It's usually the golden one. No, this one's Kahlua. So it's the one with the darker edge around it. So have you seen it? Get it. It's really fucking good. And then cream cheese. I'd win. That would have to, any other pie, I wouldn't be interested in. Cream cheese, Kahlua. No, Kahlua cream cheese pie. That's what it's called. Kahlua cream cheese pie.
I just can't picture you doing like a pie eating contest. Like everybody else is like throwing their face in the pie and you're like kind of cut it carefully and go, like try to cut like specific slices and cut and eat it. I just can't see this happening.
Okay. You have a very pristine image of me. And you know what? You're not wrong. But you know what? I will let loose because it's my dream. All right, Dee, thank you so much for the super chat. We got Tail Cam Shit Take Mushroom who says, my sugar mama thought Ice Cube was wrestling Hook. Wait, what?
Why
Ice Cube?
Oh, maybe he's talking about Brian Keefe.
That one took me a second. All right, thank you so much to Tall Can. Shit Take Mushroom. I finally got the username right. We got Alexander Fitzgerald who says, who do you think beats Tony for the title? Mariah? It's got to be Mariah, right? When the moment comes?
Yeah, I feel like they're setting it up for to be Mariah. That makes the most sense currently with the storyline they're telling. Other than that, I don't know. I don't see anybody else that they're really building like this long-term feud with her.
All right, Alexander Fitzgerald, thank you so much for that super chat. We got one more thing that we haven't talked about on this show, and that is the Roderick Strong Trent Beretta match against Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay. Roderick Strong got the win for his team here. Dude, Wardlow, hello, he comes out and he ends up freaking clotheslining Will Ospreay. We haven't seen Wardlow in a minute.
Yeah, Wardlow came out and I was like, oh yeah, Wardlow is part of this,
right? That's how I felt too.
I didn't care. I was just like, okay.
I didn't care.
The match was good though. I thought the tag match was a good way to open the show. I thought that both teams worked well together. Ospreay is Ospreay. Like, this guy just doesn't have bad matches. And I thought he had a good dynamic with Orange Cassidy. And I thought it made sense because Roddy got the pin here. Roddy is definitely losing at this pay-per-view. So all of this made sense. But yeah, the stuff with Wardlow, I was just like, oh, we're still doing this.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too. I was like, oh yeah, Wardlow's in this. Yeah, same reaction. I think for me, the best part of this was just the interactions with Orange Cassidy and Will Ospreay. Obviously, we've seen them wrestle against each other, but seeing them tag team against each other with those few moments that we got were really, really fun. Even the spot where they both went to the top rope at the same time, I thought that was fun. And I liked the attack on Will Ospreay because it made it more personal. You made the man bleed. You know, you busted him open. I thought that the visual of Will Ospreay laying there in a puddle of his own blood was a really cool visual heading into this match with Roderick Strong. So I think the promo that they did last week, plus this beatdown, has really just, you know what? We care just a little bit more about this match, even though from the very beginning, we've all known that, well, Will Ospreay is winning, and that's all we care about.
Yeah. Did they announce there's going to be a casino gauntlet next week?
Yes, they did, actually. You're right. So next week, they're going to be doing a casino gauntlet for Forbidden Door. The winner of that is facing the champion at Forbidden Door. That's right. What they said, right?
Right. So the winner is not facing the IWGP champion. They're facing the winner of Christian versus Swerve, right?
That's what I understood.
And so I thought that was interesting. I was like, so they're not going to have someone from New Japan face the champion this year. I wonder what that means. Like, I wonder if that is the opening for somebody that's been at New Japan, like Okada or like Jay White or somebody that was a New Japan wrestler to face Swerve.
You make some good points. Who do you think who would you want it to be?
Well, I am not going to Double or Nothing. I'm going to Forbidden Door. I'm just thinking the match selfishly for me that I want to see.
I don't know. I'm kind of cool with whatever, but I don't know who would face Swerve.
I kind of want it to be Ospreay.
Dude, if it was Will Ospreay, I'm on board with that, because a lot of people have been expecting that to happen at All In.
Yes. And I kind of think they've been telling us that's not going to be the All In match. I think that's the reason he's getting the international title match this weekend. I kind of want it to be Ospreay. If we're not going to get it at All In, I think Forbidden Door makes sense as well, because he used to be a New Japan wrestler. That's a big match that people want for Swerve.
And Will Ospreay won the gauntlet last time, too.
He did. That's going to be odd. If he wins the belt and then comes the next week and then just wins the gauntlet as well, I don't know. I'd be here for it because I want the match.
I'm not going to complain. That's a great pick, so I'm not going to complain at all. And I guess I'll put some more thought into that, and we'll see how that plays out. We'll be finding out next week. And, of course, next week we'll have the fallout of Double or Nothing. We got another super chat here from Brandon Rosen here who says, I know you like pie, Denise, but do you like strudel? Are you kidding me? I love strudel. No, but seriously, you get to put the little cream on the top and you put it in the toaster. Comes out nice and warm, very sweet. I don't like the edges though, but the middle, I like the middle.
I think they mean like an actual strudel, not like the toaster thing. Like,
I'm talking like a toaster strudel.
Yeah, I think they mean like
Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, I think they mean like the strudel that you can get from like a bakery. Like the
Which one's the strudel that you can get from the bakery? Is it the twisty one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I like those two. I was thinking toaster strudel.
He's making the rock joke. He's making the...
No, I knew that, but I was thinking like, I was still thinking about the food item of the toaster strudel instead of the strudel, the bread.
I guess.
All right. Whatever. It's whatever.
Pastry, isn't it? Isn't that what Pop-Tarts has told us all these years, that it's a pastry?
Pop-Tarts, yeah, but strudel's different because strudel is like warm. Well, you can also warm up a Pop-Tart. Whatever. I won't continue with the strudel conversation. All right. Let's see what else we got here. This one is, he says he can call me TK or Cal Mitchell to be OC's manager, Orange. Oh, wait, sorry. Can TK call Cal Mitchell to be Orange Cassidy's manager? Okay, there you go. I didn't understand the
Cal loves message. Orange soda.
Sorry, what did you say, Phil?
Kale loves orange soda. That's the reference he's making from.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it because I didn't get it. Sorry. Thank you so much to Tall Can for sending this in. All righty, guys. I think that's about it. That's what we've got here today. There's a lot happening in terms of Forbidden Door and then, of course, King and Queen of the Ring. So there's going to be lots of content coming up here on the channel on tomorrow. No, sorry. Friday, I'll be here for SmackDown Conversation. Tomorrow, I'll be dropping Double or Nothing predictions here on the channel. I'll be doing a separate video for that. And then Saturday, I will be here to talk about King and Queen of the Ring, as well as Collision. And then on Sunday, I will be at Double or Nothing. And then Monday morning, Reg and I are doing a post show for Double or Nothing. So keep an eye out for that. A lot is coming here to the channel. Before we wrap things up, Phil, where can the people check you out and listen to all your work?
You can find me on Saturdays at noon Eastern, hosting Grapsody with the guy that's usually sitting in this seat, Righteous Reg. Although I don't think we're doing it this Saturday because Reg will be in Vegas. So I believe we're going up Friday. Stay tuned. I'll let you know.
Keep an eye on the Twitter and all of that stuff. Alrighty, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, appreciate you guys so much. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.